Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hey, welcome to church today. What I love is we are one church in hundreds of locations. So whether you're at home, whether you're in your unit, whether you're out and about with friends, with family, or watching on your own, you're so welcome here today. We love that you've joined with us. And I want to remind you, wherever you are today, that's exactly where God's presence is. You know, God's presence is not contained to a building. God's presence is not contained to a location. God's presence can be accessed anywhere that you are. And I know this, the key to accessing God's presence is always when you and I open our heart. When you and I just begin to open our heart to God, we find that God's presence begins to move into our life. And listen, you might be today struggling because you're facing all kinds of circumstances. You're facing all kinds of change in your life. And I felt like that there were some people and you're tuning in and you've been battling with fear and maybe you've been battling with anxiety. I had a picture of some people and worry has been waking you up at night as you've been thinking about what the future may hold or what this might happen in your life. And this morning, I want to pray with you. And I believe that as we pray together this morning, that you're going to encounter not just God's presence, but you're also going to encounter God's love this morning. You know, the Word of God says this. It says there is no fear in God at all. There's no fear in God at all. But perfect love drives out all fear. When you and I experience fear in our heart, we know that's exactly the time right then that we can actually encounter a perfect love that can begin to cast out every trace of fear. God wants to cast out every trigger of fear, every emotion of fear, so that we could abide in His love and His peace. So if that's you here, why don't you just reach out to God here wherever you are, and I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that God, that your love is perfect, your love is full, and most importantly, your love is available right now. And I pray for every person that may be struggling with fear, or they're struggling with anxiety, or they're finding it difficult to sleep at night, that right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would fill those hearts and those minds with your love. Lord, right now, let your presence, God, let it fill every person right now. Let every thought of fear, let every trace of anxiety, I pray, let that go in Jesus' name. And I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for your presence. And maybe also today, maybe you've been walking through some challenges. Maybe you've been laid off from your work, or maybe you've been in a business. So you're a manager in a business. And right now that there's tremendous challenges that you're facing there. And I know that there's some people that are you're balancing the responsibility that you feel towards employees and their families as well. And I know this, you know, the promise of God in the Bible is this, that he would make a way in the wilderness and he would bring rivers in the desert. And I know this, that as you and I lock in with our faith and our confidence in God and trust him to provide and supply, we will discover that God, he's able to make streams flow where we think it's just a desert, and that he's able to make a way where we see like there's no way forward. And so maybe that's you. Why don't you just reach out to God right now? And I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is going to begin to move in your life in a fresh way and in a powerful way today. Father, I pray right now for every person, Lord, that may be experiencing, God, financial hardship or lack, or maybe in their business or the area they manage right now, there's tremendous challenges. And Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that in that place right now, God, that you want to prove your faithfulness. And Father, you want to prove your goodness. And I pray, God, that, Lord, as people, God, turn their hearts to you even right now, that God, that you would open up doors that we cannot open on our own. That God, I pray that supernatural solutions would start to happen. Miracles would begin to happen in people's lives. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to provide and you are faithful to supply all our needs in Jesus' name. And wherever you are, I hope you're saying amen this morning. Well, I can't believe we're only a week away from Easter, and we're so looking forward to celebrating as a church Good Friday, Easter Sunday. And next week on our Good Friday services and also our Easter Sunday services, we'd not only love for you to join us, but we'd love for you to invite your family and your friends and just share that around. And we would have as many people as we possibly can enjoy and celebrate together what is one of the most special weekends in the life of the church. And so we are talking across this next few weeks around this theme that's called perfect love. And I don't think there's any greater way that you and I can really describe who Jesus is than those two words, perfect love. For you and I, when we know Jesus, we know a love that is perfect. We know a love that is real. We know a love that is pure. And we know a love that is complete towards us. And the Bible teaches us that not only can we know that God's love is perfect, but that we can pray to our God, whose love is always perfect to us. And his promise is that not only will he hear those prayers that we pray, but he'll answer those prayers as well. And so what I'd love to do today is talk to you on this topic called first pray. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, this is the words of the Apostle Paul. He says this, "I urge you, first of all, to pray." Paul says the first thing that we should do is pray. But how many of you know the truth is this, prayer is often the last thing that we do rather than the first thing we do. Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, I guess the only thing left to do is to pray"? It's almost like when someone says that, it's like, "Well, I've tried pretty much everything else in the book. I may as well give prayer a go." But the truth is this, it is good to pray at any time. But what the Word of God is encouraging us here is that in every situation, in every problem that you face, in every trial that you come up against, before we do anything else, to first pray. In other words, what the Scripture's saying is this, let's make prayer our first response rather than our last resort. So when we face hardships or when we face challenges or when we're up against setbacks, that God wants us to learn how to turn first to him and pray. And then as we pray, we're to watch what God would do. And so I want to talk to you about how you and I can prioritize prayer in our daily life. That you and I can make a decision in our life that whenever we are up against something in life, whenever we encounter fear or whenever we encounter a problem or whatever we're doing in life, that as we first pray, we will discover that in turning to God is the secret to God bringing breakthroughs and God bringing miracles into our life. And I want to use a story as we share around the Word of God today out of David's life. And I think that this story has a lot of application for you and I in the season that we're in right now. In fact, I think this story has a lot of application for how many of us might be feeling right now with everything that's happened. It's a story about King David, and really the background of this story is simple. David is at a point in his life where he's about 3 days away from being crowned the new king of Judah. And David, along with his men, had just gone to fight a battle with a group of people called the Philistines. They'd won a victory, and now he comes back with his men. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says, "So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had all been taken captive." So here we have it. David's family had been kidnapped. His city had been decimated, been wiped out, and even all of his wealth had been lost completely. And I have no doubt that this would have been the most heartbreaking, the most difficult time in all of David's life. Then in the next verse, it says this, "Then David and the people who were with him, they lifted up their voices and they wept until they had no more power to weep." And I want to say, wherever you are today, there's nothing wrong with grieving. And I believe, like many people in our community right now, David and his men, they had suffered real loss. And they're experiencing real hardship in their life. They felt alone. That they had lost connection with their family and their loved ones, and it was through no fault of their own. They had lost their sense of financial security, and this was done by events that were far beyond their control. And the Bible says that David, along with his men, they wept over all that they had lost. I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with grieving. But just never let grieving control your life. See, when we lose something we value, when we lose something we love, It's natural for us to mourn. And there's nothing wrong with grieving for a time, but there is something wrong if we let grieving control our life and our future. In Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." The Bible is saying at nighttime, there's a time of weeping. But I love it straight after the Bible says, "But morning is on the way and daytime is coming." And what the morning does is morning overtakes the darkness. It overtakes the darkness with light and it replaces weeping with joy. And you know, that's a picture of what our loving God does. And what he does is in our time of grieving or our time of mourning or our time of distress, he comes and he helps us by his grace and by his strength and by his spirit. And he helps us to overcome those setbacks. And he helps us to overcome the pain that we might feel or the loss that we might feel or the fear that we might feel. Because I want to tell you that wherever you are today, there is nothing that is happening in your life that God is not going to help you to overcome. That's who God is. He's the God who helps us in the middle of darkness, in the middle of the morning. But what he does is he helps to lift us so that we can rise above it. Then at what it says in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30, it says, "Now the people were so distressed, they spoke of stoning Daniel." David. And so what we find is David's men, they were so upset that they wanted to kill him. And David not only had his own problems to deal with right here, but also we see David has all these men and he feels this burden and this responsibility for them and for their families and for their future. And many of us are in that same situation even today, and some of us here today and you're business owners and you feel that burden of responsibility, not just for your family, but also as well for your staff and your employees and taking care of them. Some of you are here today and you're managers and you look after staff and the same, you feel that sense of responsibility to help them navigate through this season. Or maybe you're here today and as a parent, as a mom or dad, that you also feel this sense of duty and care and love to navigate your children and your family through what is a challenging season. But even though David would have felt overwhelmed by the problems around him, I love that he actually did something in that moment, which the Bible says began to turn things around. It began to shift the landscape of what was happening. In 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, it says, after all this, after the distress, after the darkness, after the loss, it says David made this decision. It says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." David made a decision that he needed to get strength and encouragement that he would not be able to find in himself and he would not be able to find in the world around him. So he looked to God and he began to pray and he began to worship and he began to declare the promises of God and he began to set himself to seek God. And the Bible tells us here that as David began to pray and as David began to seek the Lord his God in his distress, that the Bible says that courage and strength began to fill his heart. What I love about David is he made the decision that in that moment right there, that he would make prayer his first response. Here's why I think David did that. Because David knew that we first win the battle in prayer. Rather than spending his time just reacting to the situation, David spent his time seeking the Lord. And what happened was this, is as David spent time in God's presence, it reset his heart. When you and I begin to spend time with the Lord, when you and I begin to spend time in his presence, it begins this reset of our heart, where our heart might have been filled with fear, or our heart might have been filled with worry, our heart might have been filled with all kinds of things. When you and I begin to spend time in his presence, perfect love fills our heart. And the Bible says that that perfect love, it begins to drive those things out. It begins to remove those things out from our heart. And what we find is in this place here, as David strengthened himself and as David encouraged himself in God, what happened was his mind became clear and his heart became clear. And what he did was he was able to find peace in that situation. And I love it at this point here, from this time of praying, he began to see his future clearly. You see, what happens is prayer is the reset button on our heart, and it helps us to see clearly the future and the purposes that God has in our life, where we no longer see a future that's looking black or bleak, but we begin to see the brightness of God's promises and the brightness of the future that He has mapped out for our lives. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 speaks of these plans and purposes that God has for each of us. It says, "For I know," this is God speaking, "for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I want to tell you, wherever you are today, God only has good plans for your life. God only has great plans for your life. He has great plans for your future. He has great plans for your family. He has great plans for your career. He has great purposes for your life, and they are filled with hope. And as David prayed, and as David began to worship, as David began to seek his God, what happened was that his heart got reset. And once his heart got reset, David was then ready to hear from God. In 1 Samuel 30 verse 8, it says, "But David inquired of the Lord, and he said this, 'Shall I pursue this troop, God? Shall I overtake them?'" And I love God's response. God answered him and said, "Pursue, David, for you shall overtake them, and without fail recover all." God's promise to David was this: you're going to recover all. God was saying to him, "I'm a restoring God." And David, what I'm promising to you today, that even though that you have experienced loss, even though you've experienced hardships and setbacks, I am going to restore back to you everything you've lost. David, I'm going to restore back to you your family. I'm going to restore back to you your finances, your home, your future, because I'm the one who holds your future, David, in my hand. And I want to tell you, God's promise is exactly the same to you today. Not only are you going to make it through this season, but God is going to restore all things back to you. He's going to restore your family. He's going to restore your finances. He's going to restore relationships. And He's going to restore the promises and the purposes that He has for your life. You know, the story of Job, it's a fascinating story. And Job finds himself in a season of life where he also experienced a lot of hardship and a lot of suffering in his life. And it's through no fault of his own. The Bible is clear on that. That God was not the author of those things. But Job found himself in this place in his life where he was experiencing all kinds of hardship. But he goes through that. And even though Job had lost a lot of things, and we see that through the book of Job, he loses a lot of things. The one thing Job didn't lose through it all was God. The one thing he didn't let go of was God. And in return, God proved His faithfulness to Job. I love the scripture in Job 24 verse 10. It says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses," all of them, "when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." I love how the scripture says that as Job prayed, then after that, the Lord restored. And God proved His faithfulness to Job. And not only did actually God restore everything that Job had lost, but the Bible says God went way above that, and God actually blessed him with twice as much as he had before. You know, later in the chapter of 1 Samuel, it says this in the story of David. It says, "David got back everything they had taken, and the men recovered their family, all of their belongings. David rescued his two wives. His troops rounded up all the flocks and the herds and drove them on ahead of them. These are yours personally as your reward." And not only did David recover all that he'd lost, but God rewarded him with more. And what I love is that God can turn a situation around in a day. You know what? In a single day, God turned this situation around by His power and by His grace. David, when he prayed, he not only received strength and encouragement from God, but the Bible says here that as he prayed, he also released the supernatural, miracle-working power of God into his life. See, when he prayed, miracles started to happen. In Psalm 65, verse 6, it says, "You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds." I love that. How does God answer our prayer? God says, "I'm faithful to answer your prayers." What the scripture's saying is God's saying to us, I'm faithful to not only hear your prayers, but I'm faithful to answer your prayers. And here's on top of that, the way I love to answer prayers is with awesome deeds. He says, I love to do awesome and mighty and extraordinary deeds. And I believe wherever you are, now is the time for us to rise up and pray, that we would be a people that would rise with a confident expectation in our hearts that not only would God hear our prayers, but God is a God who loves to answer them with awesome and mighty deeds. Do you know what awesome and mighty deeds are? They're miracles. And I believe right now all across the earth that God is about to move in a miraculous and a supernatural way in people's lives as you and I begin to pray. And I want to encourage you, let's be a people of prayer. Let's resist the forces of darkness. Let's rise up in faith and let's believe with a confident expectation that God is going to do great miracles both in our lives but also through our lives as well. In James 5 verse 13, it says this, it poses a question. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? That word hardships, it means, are you enduring affliction? It means, are you suffering trouble? And that can be physically, it can be mentally, it can be relationally, it can be emotionally, it can be financially. The Bible says, are any of you suffering hardships? Here's what it says to do. It says, you and I should pray. Whatever you're facing today, the Bible tells us the answer is praying, to bring it to the Lord, to ask Him for help. And when you and I pray, we find strength comes. We find joy begins to fill our heart. We find provision begins to flow. We find protection around our life, wisdom, salvation. Every answer that we need in life is always found when we seek God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it says this, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray, and if they will seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. How many of you know today, man, our land needs a lot of healing. There's a lot of brokenness out there. There's a lot of hurt out there. There's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of darkness out there at the moment. There's a lot of need out there. And God's saying that if we would pray, that's if you and I, that if we as His people, if we would, the Bible says, first of all, humble ourselves. You know what the word humble it means? The word humble simply means this, is to acknowledge that many times in life, we live from out of a place of our own independence and sometimes out of our own pride. But what God's saying to you and I is to humble ourselves, is to simply position ourselves and say, God, I need you. I need you right now. He says, if we would humble ourselves, then we would pray. To pray is to ask God for help, to ask God for miracles in our life. And it says, and we would turn from our wicked ways. It means this, it's to acknowledge our sin before God. It's to acknowledge that and say, God, I've sinned, I've fallen short, and I come to you today knowing that you're a God of mercy and love and grace towards me. God says if we would do that, then God's promise is this, that He would, number one, He would hear our prayers. The second thing is that He would forgive our sins, that we would be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And the third thing He says, that He would heal us. That God's promise is that He would heal us. And I think the thing that God most wants to heal in our lives is our broken heart. Jesus said that in the book of Luke chapter 4, He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. And then He says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. You know, in our hearts, when we come to a place and we realize that there's brokenness within us, that there's fractures in our heart, and those fractures and those brokenness, they are there to show us our need for God. And to point us to Him who can come and heal our hearts, who can restore us, who can make us whole, and who can change us from the inside out. And I know that's the greatest miracle that there is. You know, the Bible is filled with all kinds of amazing miracles. But I tell you, the greatest miracle that happens, it's the miracle that happens every time a person receives Christ into their heart as their Lord and as their Savior, and He transforms them from the inside out. You know, I was 18 years old when I experienced that miracle in my life. And the truth was, at 18 years old, I was lost. And I was searching. I was searching for meaning. I was searching for fulfillment. I was searching for purpose in life. And I tell you this, when I found perfect love, whose name was Jesus, he came and he changed my heart from the inside out. He made me whole. He filled it with his love and he gave me a life filled with purpose and gave me a life filled with meaning. And that's what I found. And God wants to connect in relationship with every single one of us. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter what we've done. God loves you and I with a perfect love. And his love, the Bible says, is always greater than our sin. That's the power of the cross. The power of what we celebrate next Sunday at Easter is what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. That we did not have to try to earn our way into God's love or presence. But at the cross, we see Jesus became the sacrifice for our sins so that we could know him and that you and I could experience a brand new life in him. No matter where you are today, can I tell you, you are not far away from God. You are actually so close. Because I know this, every single one of us, we are only ever one step, one prayer, one decision away from God. And I believe wherever you are here today, that if you would reach out to God, that you would find him and you would find a God that wants to come and fill you and transform you from the inside out. And here's what I've discovered. God doesn't barge his way into our life. No, what God does, he reaches out to us in love and he waits for us to respond. In the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks about this. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Do you know the great news of this scripture? Jesus tells us exactly where he is today in our life. He says, "I stand at the door of every person's heart," and he's knocking today. And the reason he's knocking, the Bible says, is so that we would hear not just him knocking, but we would hear his voice. And the Bible says that we would hear his voice speaking to us and we would open the door to our heart and invite him in. He says, "I will come in," and he will change us and he will fill us with a love like we've never experienced before.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.